Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 Podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome Toyotas get to weld up Jeeps are, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is Tyler, and this is part two. Part dos of episode 211, where Jimmy and I talked for too long, as we do on occasion. That's what happens when we don't see each other for like 2 weeks. So, we had a lot of updates from episode 211, part one. We had Jimmy digging into Charlotte, some industry updates. And this part two is going to be kind of a recap of my weekend, Tyler's weekend here, doing trail maintenance over on the Rubicon Trail to keep that alive and well for everybody to enjoy. And also trail maintenance over on Barrett Lake to get the Barrett Lake Trail open and running for the season. Super proud of everybody that came out and helped with those two work parties. So the members from the Mad Hatters 4x4 Club, members from the Highlanders 4x4, and members from the Stump Jumpers based out of Georgetown there. So it was a huge group effort. Everybody busted ass. There was probably about 50 people involved with these two work parties. And it was just really freaking cool to see the amount of effort and passion that goes into our trails. And then I came home and saw a press release that really, really kind of pissed me off and irked me the wrong way. And you guys get to hear about it on this episode here. So without further ado, go ahead and grab your drinks, grab your favorite popcorn, because this one is going to be a doozy. We'll be right on back with today's episode, part two.
But it's not, that was a few days ago and I'm fine now, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, that's good, man.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of wrenching before I went on my trip.
Okay.
Because my AC
That's right.
Was not fully functioning, right? I mean, the AC itself was functioning. The cabin blower was not functioning correctly. And so what happened was it was working on, there's four settings, right? One through four. One, two, three, four. And
I thought there was five.
There's four on on off, I guess.
Okay. But, yeah, yeah.
So off and one, two, three, four, four being high, one being low, and one and two were working, three and four were not. Ugh. And so I was like, man, it's just kind of, you know, driving in Kermit with the AC on two is just enough to keep me cool where the AC is hitting me.
On the front side.
But like, it's not enough to keep the cabin cooled off in 110 degrees outside.
Yeah.
So I would sweat everywhere except right where the vent was hitting me, right? And I was like, I'm going to be up. It's going to be another hot weekend. I'm going to be working because we're doing trail maintenance that weekend. And I want this working at full blast. And so I was like, usually if your switch is not working through all four settings, it's usually the resistor for the cabin blower. And so I went and got a new resistor went to plug it in, and in order to get to where the resistor, the cabin blower resistor is, it's on the firewall behind the cabin blower.
Oh, geez.
So you have to pull the cabin blower motor out and drop it out of there, and then you can get to the resistor. And I was having issues trying getting that cabin blower motor out. I couldn't find where all the screws were that held it in.
Yeah, I know that problem.
Yeah, right? So I was like,
did you move some of the wires?
I did move the wires around and still couldn't figure it out. And so I was like, you know what? I can almost reach the plug. So I've kind of finagled a kind of a screwdriver flathead up there to push the clip in on the plug, pulled the plug out and plugged it into my new resistor just to see if that's what it was.
Okay.
And that's not what it was. I plugged in the new resistor and it didn't fix anything. I still got, you know, one and two were working and three and four were not.
Okay.
And I was like, interesting. So I was like, I wonder if I got a bum resistor. I'm not sure. So I looked up how these things work. And apparently a resistor will regulate the amount of electricity, the flow of electricity, that's what resistors do, into the cabin blower, the blower motor, right? And so as you increase the speed on your switch, right, go from 1, 2, 3 to 4, you increase the amount of power going to the cabin motor, the blower right. motor.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so technically the resistor should, if it's completely bypassed, your blower motor should be going at full speed.
Sure.
And so your resistor is working when settings 1, 2, or 3 work. If any of those work, your resistor is probably working.
What about 4?
Sorry, other way around. Sorry. No,
yes. I got you.
Yes.
Your resistor is working if 1, 2, and 3 work, because that means that it's limiting the power.
Exactly.
If 4 is working.
If it's only 4 that works.
Then your resistor is blown mm-hmm. because it's just fully dumping.
Exactly.
Or if your resistor is 100% resisting, then none of them would work.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And that's understood.
And yeah. So, yeah, if four setting is not working, it's not your resistor. That's an issue.
Yes.
It's something else.
Right. Okay.
And so I started diving into it.
So you had 1 and 2 working,
mm-hmm.
not three
and not four. Correct. And so, I got into it and I was like, okay, well maybe I started looking, I looked at a couple of YouTube videos and, somebody said, yeah, the switch gets really dirty, especially if you have an older vehicle, just pull the faceplate off of your AC controls, your cabin controls, and, pop the little knobs off. And then you can see in there and kind of clean and blow out the switch.
Okay.
I did that and voila,
it works.
It works.
Wow. So did you ever go back and pull out the resistor and, switch it back?
So what I did was I kept the original resistor in there. I just pulled the plug off.
Yeah.
And so as I was getting ready to pull the resistor off, the new one, and just say, okay, plug back onto the old mm-hmm. one.
Sure. Yeah.
I picked up the resistor and it immediately burnt the shit out of my hand.
Oh no.
Yes.
Oh,
like I picked it up full palm. And yeah. I knew it would be hot because that resistors get hot when yeah. they're resisting when electricity.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it would get like instantaneously burn a hole in your skin hot.
Did it? Are you, do you have like blisters?
No blister. You were just
looking at the wrong hand.
No, I was looking.
You don't know which one it is?
No, it's on my left hand. But
he's like looking at both of his hands right here.
There's a big indent in my left hand. I'm trying to compare it to my right hand to see if there, and I don't necessarily see that big of an indent on my right hand.
Yeah.
But when we went to interview the Holtzmans,
mm-hmm.
I had a nice red square in the middle of my hand.
Oh, wow. Okay.
From where it was burnt.
Yeah, I remember that. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah. So I had to go inside, stop what I was doing, and just rub ice over my hand for about 10 minutes. That helped a lot. But yeah, don't ever touch or pick up a blower resistor.
Uh-huh. And be careful with used. Capacitors.
Capacitors. Yeah, it's very same thing. So anyways, I blew out the switch and it worked just Sweet. Fine the whole weekend.
Well, so there you go.
Yeah.
Step one, blow out switch. Step two, check
it's
resistor.
It's like a Nintendo.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I'm not wearing that shirt today.
So anyways, did cool. that.
So you got the AC working.
Got the AC working and it worked phenomenally all weekend long, which was a godsend because, it was 100 degrees in Georgetown.
Yeah.
And we were just up the hill from Georgetown. It was about 90 degrees where we were working throughout mm-hmm. the day. And we were doing our trail maintenance.
Yeah.
So we're doing our part to help trails stay open here in Northern California. And my club adopts the Wentworth Springs side of the Rubicon. So the entrance for the Rubicon Trail for the Wentworth Springs, you go through Wentworth Springs Campground. From the campground into the intertie.
Oh, the whole stretch.
The whole stretch wow. is ours. Yeah.
That's a long stretch.
It is. Most of it is all erosion control. So we're checking to make sure that when the snow melt off happens in the spring, that the water and silt and runoff and everywhere has somewhere to go and doesn't just pool up and ruin the trail.
Okay.
So we had these, I call them silt pots. They're technically called energy dissipators. They're essentially a rock pit. in the ground, and they're designed to have the in to be in a low spot for water to drain into, bring all the silt and runoff and soot with it that we create on the trail, quote unquote, so that it goes into that rather than off and into the water stream, the watershed. Okay. And so once it's collected there in those dissipators, the rock pits, we have to go and empty the rock pits each year and kind of reset them.
So you have to dig the rock pits out.
Yep. Yeah. And so
how do you do that?
You have to
pickaxe.
Pickaxe helps a lot.
Okay.
So we had one of those there this time. We've done it in the past without a pickaxe and it sucks.
No, thank you.
But yeah,
I'm trying to imagine digging through my driveway.
Yeah, except bigger rocks. Each rock is about a golf ball, not golf ball, a softball sized rock.
Oh.
So baseball to softball, bowling ball sized rocks that are down in that those pits. But we had heard that our pits were not really that bad. So we were planning on, hey, this, you know, if we have 15, 20 people here, which we had, we might get done with this in like 2 hours and be able to just go play around on the trail for the rest of the day.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It didn't go. That did not go. No. We got to the first pit, and it was completely full and filled over with shredded trees.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There was shredded bark, like a tree had exploded right there, and all the bark pieces were on top. So we had to clear a foot of depth of bark, just shredded bark. And so we cleared all that before we started getting to the silt. And then we had about 6-7 inches of silt before we got to the rocks. And then you have to clear all the rocks out to clear all the rest of the silt to get down to the hard pack.
So what do you do with the bark and the silt after you dig all that out?
You just throw it off to the side.
What?
That's yes.
Then what's the point?
I think the reasoning behind this is that the silt and soot, because the water runs down a trail, right? The water is going to take the path of least resistance. So it runs down the trail and brings all the silt and soot with it down the trail. The point of the energy dissipators is to collect all the silt and soot in one spot rather than continue with the water down into the watershed, into streams.
Yeah, but if you just dump it on the side of the trail, the next time it rains, it'll move that down the hill and into the watershed.
It'll take some of it, but not all of it at all. A lot of it stays there because most of the water flow is coming down the trail, not down through the bushes.
Okay.
Quote unquote, that's the reasoning. Quote
Did
unquote.
You notice the silt that you pulled out last year on the side of the trail?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So it actually is still there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So most of it is still there. I'm sure some of it ends up still going down the watershed, but
inevitably
it actually does do a pretty decent job at keeping all the silt and runoff and dirt,
so
gravel.
So in essence, it's a French drain.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
It's a very big French drain. Mm-hmm. And so these pits are supposed to be anywhere from 18 to 24 inches under the ground level.
Deep?
Down deep in. Yep.
Wow.
So we got down there and got all the rocks out and everybody worked their asses off. And it was fucking hot.
Yeah.
And you know, at higher elevation, we're about 6,000, 5,500, 6,000 feet there.
Okay.
And so being a little bit higher elevation and 90 degree heat, the air is very thin. So you just get burned very quickly by
and
sun.
Out of breath.
And out of breath.
Yeah.
So I was very, very impressed with everybody we had there.
Cool.
And the new employee for the county.
Oh, really?
Did he show up? Was out there with us all day long, too. Yeah.
Oh, what a nice guy.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It was funny.
Did he take his side-by-side up there?
No, he got to use the county's Jeep.
Oh.
So the county has a very, very nicely built Jeep.
Is it like the sheriff's Jeeps?
It's, yes, but it's not. I think it's a TJ. It's either a TJ or an LJ. I didn't pay close to enough attention. But it's four-linked.
Oh, wow.
Or like front and rear coilovers and on 40s, I believe. And,
whoa.
It's a very nice rig.
Cool.
It has the inline six engine in it.
The 4 liter.
The 4 liter nice. Inline six. So the sheriff's Jeeps are four-door JKs, right?
Yeah.
And so they're just, they look big and clean. This one looked more like a rock crawler.
Oh, okay.
So like what you would typically think of a rock crawler. So He was out there. He got to play with it all play. He got to use it all day for work purposes.
Right. And help out.
And help out. And he worked his ass off all day long. But it was really neat having him there because this was my first year kind of running the Adopted Trails for our club.
Okay.
And I knew what I had an idea of what the proper end result was, the work that we needed to do and what things needed to look like. But he helped say, oh no, they're in the past, I guess maintenance had not been done exactly the way it should have been.
Oh.
So we had a couple of energy dissipators that had not been cleaned out properly in the past. And they were just a pit in the ground with no lead in running to it. And so we had to dig down.
You had to dig from a funnel into the dissipator
to find the lead ins, the original lead ins. And then rebuild the lead-ins for the dissipator.
Oh, geez.
So I was like, God dang it. I hate having you here, Joey. But at the same time, it's really nice having you here, Joey.
Yeah.
So it was fun having him there all day.
And has he done this before? How did he know how it was supposed to be done?
He was extremely knowledgeable of it. So I don't know if he has just done a lot of studying to know how this is supposed to be done or if he has experience building water runoff in forest service.
I thought areas. He just drove the poop truck.
That's what I thought too, but so he's actually been getting a lot of work done this year out on the trail.
Cool.
I've seen him out there with a little, like almost like a little mini excavator. It's a tracked excavator, but it's a tiny one that you can get through the trail, right?
That's
fun. I've seen him out there with that. They just went and cleaned all the toilets on the trail with the new poop truck, and he absolutely shredded a 43-inch military tire on the poop truck.
How did he do that?
He said he just caught it on a sidewall coming up somewhere, and then he just drove on it the rest of the day because they didn't have a spare. It's a 43-inch military tire. It weighs like 250 pounds.
Right.
And so he just drove on it the rest of the day, and by the end of the day, it looked worse than my dad's did from that one snow trip.
Damn.
So that they moved the toilet down at Buck. That was kind of down by itself, down near the dam at Buck. They moved it further up near the other toilets because they were concerned of the toilet leaking and causing and getting human feces into the water runoff and the lake.
So the one down by the campground?
Yep.
They moved that up closer to the lake?
No, the one that was down closer to the lake and the dam, they moved it up towards where the ones are as you first come into Buck.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they moved that. There's been quite a bit of work done on the trail this year, which has been fun to kind of learn about and hear which hand he's had in getting that done. So
nice.
But yeah, everybody worked their ass off on Saturday to get all the work done for the trail maintenance. We finished everything up and had made our way in and had lunch at Ellis Creek.
Oh, nice.
So up at the bathrooms at Ellis Creek, we just kind of stopped there, had lunch. And while we were having lunch, a rig came bombing through with a puppy that had gotten run over in Little Sluice.
Oh no.
Yeah. So it apparently what happened was the owners did not have the puppy strapped into the vehicle at all. And the puppy fell out the door of the Jeep behind the passenger seat, fell out and got run over underneath the back tire.
Oh,
it was still alive, but its whole like back end was the back legs were broken and it had a lot of hip issues and the hip bone was like shattered. And so this Jeep came bombing down the trail, very well built Jeep that could bomb through the trail. And, they got on the radio and there was an announcement over the repeater saying, hey, there's a yellow Jeep bombing down the trail with a hurt puppy. Everybody get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah.
And everybody cleared the trail. It was really cool.
Wow.
And they bombed out. They got down to a veterinary clinic and the puppy is alive.
Oh,
he's going to have a few surgeries, ahead of him, but it's alive. And, yeah. So that was an interesting situation to kind of see happen there on the trail. And then as we were heading out, at Ellis, a guy looked over and he goes, look, that guy has some koozies over there. Because I have the version 1 koozies, the version 2s, I guess.
Yeah.
Up on my tailgate all the time for people to have and take. And so he came over and was talking and his son goes, oh, snail trail, 4x4. And I was like, yeah. I was like, do you know it? And he goes,
He goes, yeah, I watch the YouTube all the time. And I was like, do you listen to the podcast? He goes, no. And I was like, no. I was like, so you know Jimmy then? He goes, yeah. Are you Jimmy? I was like, no, I'm Tyler. He goes, who are you? I was like, dang it.
But, I'm on the podcast.
I know, right?
I'm famous. My voice is famous, but not me personally in person.
I have a face for podcasts.
Yeah, there you go.
I got to hang out with him. There was three generations, the kid, his dad, and his dad.
Cool.
So the grandfather.
Grandpa.
So three generations are hanging out with their first gen 4Runner for the day. So I got to sit and talk with them for a little bit.
Nice.
And turns out he ended up coming on the maintenance run the next day on Barrett Lake. So it was funny just running into him out at Barrett Lake and being like, what are you doing here?
So is he part of the Highlanders?
He's part of the Stump Jumpers.
Oh, okay.
Out of Georgetown.
Oh, nice.
So he lives in Georgetown. And so it was just fun to run into him. On the way out of the trail, there was a massive traffic jam right at the intertie, pretty much. And so I was like, hold on, let me go down. I was first in the group. So I went down to try and figure out what's going on. And there was a Jeep that had ripped its lower link bracket off of its axle.
Wow.
And he had it kind of ratchet strapped together. And so he had the link ratchet strapped to the axle, and then the axle ratchet strapped up to a body mount to try and up against the link, right?
Okay.
To try and keep the axle located in a spot. And he was not moving, and he was not going to be going anywhere quick. And so I just walked up and I was like, hey, how's everything going? He goes, we need a welder. And I was like, we got lots of welders. No worries there. What's going on? And so he kind of explained, and I took a look at it, and I was like, okay, go ahead. Let's just see. Just move as slowly and as gingerly as you can about 30 feet forward down. There's a little bit of a flat spot. It's in the shade. Let's move you down there. And then we need to clear everybody out of the way so that I can get down here and we can get you welded back up. And so we made way, everybody cleared out of the way. I got through. And then from there, Samurai James is here. He kind of just directed traffic to get, I don't know, something like 30, 35 rigs that were all jammed up from both directions.
Oh my gosh.
So he worked on clearing the traffic out while me, Warren, and John Allen worked on this broken rig. And John was dehydrated, very dehydrated that day. He was kind of just going around chainsawing
because everything. It didn't rain.
Because exactly. Yes. Because it didn't rain. The one time John's up in the Sierras, it doesn't rain. And so he was super dehydrated. And so I was like, hey, John, let me take this all apart. Let me clean it all. And I'm willing to weld it if you can just kind of give me some guidance. Like, you don't need to get all in your overalls and everything and get all super hot and sweat anymore. And then we started kind of taking everything off and apart, and we got the bracket off of the link, and the bracket was just completely mangled. And there was some big gaps to fill.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, I'll give it a shot, but I don't think this guy is making it more than 20 feet if I try and weld this. And so we got it all cleaned up, and John crawled under the rig and welded it all up. But we ended up having some spare, John had some flat iron steel that we used to kind of close the gaps and fill the gaps with on the weld. But it was interesting taking that and getting to use my welder. So we used my Premier off of the 4Runner.
Cool.
Got it all welded up. So, and then we kind of stuck around with him and made sure that he got off the trail. So, nice.
So you went out the regular way out to the spillway?
Yep. We went out to the loon, out the spillway.
Did your whole group go that way?
They did. So the rest of our group, we kind of told them, we're like, hey, anybody that wants to go back to the campground, go back to the campground, like go relax. Everybody worked their asses off today. Nobody needs to stay here and work on this rig with us. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to go back and relax. So most people did. And then we kind of stuck around and worked on the rig for another hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. But we got him up and running and got him off the trail and he made it back home, and he had a trailer at the chalet.
Oh, cool.
So he made it up to the chalet, and the guy messaged me when he got home. Apparently, he knew me from Facebook. And said thank you, a big thank you for helping out. And he was like, "What can I do to repay you guys?" And we're like, "Nothing, just pass it on." Yeah. If anybody needs help in the future and you come across them, help them out.
Yeah.
And he said, "Cool, that's good." And so I was like, just curious, how long were you there? Because there was a lot of rigs stopped around you. And he goes, "We were probably there in that spot for 20 to 30 minutes." And I was like, did anybody help you? Like, there was a lot of people there. Nobody was like helping. Cause when I walked up, there was no, everyone was standing around watching. Nobody was helping.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, "Well, somebody gave us one of the ratchet straps, a little tiny one to ratchet strap the link to the axle. But other than that, yeah, that's, nobody was really helping. Everyone was just kind of standing around trying to get us to move. And we were trying to move, but we couldn't really move." And I was like, "Yeah, I get it." So he was like, "Thank you so much for stopping and helping." And I was like, "Absolutely. That's what we're here for."
Wow.
So shame on everybody else.
Yeah.
That was just standing around watching them struggle. But to other people's credit, once the traffic jam was cleared and we were there working on the vehicle, every vehicle that went by stopped and asked if we needed anything. So I'm like,
so people are willing to ask, but they aren't willing to partake.
I think so. Yeah. They're willing to stop and ask and hope you say no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so that was the getting him off the trail, made it back into camp. We had tacos, that the club provided for everybody. So I made tacos before leaving. And then all we had to do there was heat him up, and get him going. I went and took a bath in the river there at Airport Flat, which was amazing. Best river bath I think I've ever had. and we called it a night. I ended up going and passing out early. I was dead tired. Most people were. I was just dehydrated, really. Yeah. I wasn't really sore. I was a little tired, but I was super dehydrated.
Okay. Yeah.
And so the next day, a bunch of us, four of our rigs, stuck around and went over to Barrett Lake. And because Barrett Lake had one more project to work on in order to get the trail open. And it was a cement project.
Oh.
And so I thought the way that it had kind of sounded to us was that we were only going to have about seven rigs to work on the cement project.
Right.
And I'm thinking, man, this is going to be a tough day.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking forward to it, but yeah,
you told me that there was like hundreds of pounds of cement and water that needed to be moved into this section on Barrett. Yep. And there was only going to be a few rigs there. And yeah.
So, I ended up showing up and there was like 20 rigs. We had 13, 14 rigs.
Sweet.
I was like, oh my God, thank you. And, we had 60 pound bags of cement.
Wow.
Which is a lot of bags, a lot of pounds, 3,600 pounds of cement that we took in, and we took in over 100 gallons of water.
So if 1 gallon weighs 8 pounds,
So 800 pounds of water and 3,600 pounds of cement, easy is what we took in there.
Damn.
Between the 13 rigs. So we made it up. There was a tree root section that had been causing some problems. Some people had rolled there. It was getting really, really undercut.
Right before the granite like slab?
It was about a third of the way in. So maybe a mile past the bridge.
I think I know where you're talking about, but I can't.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's hard to describe.
I didn't know because I've never really had issues in getting stuck or undercut on that trail, but I didn't run the trail last year.
Yeah.
And that's when it was becoming a real big problem. So when we got there, I was like, oh, okay, this spot, I got it. But they had moved a microwave sized rock into the hole and then filled in with a bunch of smaller rock and then put, chain link over it. And so what we needed to do was fill in the rest of it with small rock. So we had to go and take a trailer up the trail and get a bunch of rock, bring it back down, fill it in, and then cement the whole thing and create like a big old ramp essentially, so that it wouldn't cause any more issues, at least for a few years. And
And on the flip side, you're probably protecting the tree.
Yes. Yeah. Protecting the tree, protecting the trail, making sure that people are not doing any more damage to the trail than necessary, not doing any damage to themselves by rolling a vehicle and then possibly spilling fluids on the trail. So it was something that needed to get done. And we got there about 1 p.m., 1:15 p.m.
Okay.
And
no traffic on the trail because the trail is technically closed.
It's closed. So yeah. We unlocked the gate when we got there, went in, and I locked the gate when I went through. And I was the last one. I was tail gunner. So I locked the gate when I went through. So there wasn't anybody coming in behind us. And we set up a cement mixing machine up above it and then started mixing cement and found out that it was the cement that was used was Quikrete with an accelerator in it.
Uh-oh.
So it was accelerating quicker than the cement machine could keep up with. So we had to keep stopping every like 5 or 6 buckets and clean out the cement mixer because it was just solidifying in the cement mixer. And so we finally just decided, let's just mix this all one bucket at a time in the buckets. And that ended up going a lot quicker than using the cement mixer because
it was
hardening too quick.
Yeah.
In the cement mixer.
You didn't just pour it over it and pour water on it?
No, it doesn't get mixed properly when you when you do that, it doesn't set up. So it was by the time we were done, there was a big ramp there and it looks like it's part of the trail. It doesn't look like there's a 3-foot hole underneath it at all. You would never think that it was there.
Wow. Cool.
So it was really impressive. Everybody that day, every single person worked their ass off that day too.
Dang.
It was really, really impressive both days to see how much passion and effort and work and blood, sweat, and tears went into those two maintenance days.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all made it off the trail by 5:30, 6, somewhere around there. Which was pretty damn good considering we got to the workplace at 1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we got the work done in like 3 hours, 3.5 hours. And then everybody got off the trail. I think it was a 45-minute drive time off of the trail.
Yeah.
So on the way out, I was leading. So I was the first to the gate, got to open it, and then helped everybody to make sure they got through gatekeeper. And then called it a day and headed on down the hill. And I tried to get down to Burger Barn in Pollock Pines before they closed, and I didn't make it.
Beer! That's what I need!
Yes, it was definitely one of those days where like everybody was like, we need beer afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
But since Burger Barn was closed, I ended up stopping alongside in one of the pullouts on 50 and hiked down to the river and had my own little personal dinner sitting in the river after that work day.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Hopefully you didn't get any black water.
No. Yeah. I don't know if I want to talk. I know I do want to talk about that. So, after seeing all the effort that everybody put into that weekend.
Yeah.
Barrett Lake it's not officially open. The gate is open. But we want to give a few more days for the concrete to dry before the Forest Service announces that Barrett Lake is open. So by the time this episode airs, the announcement should be made that Barrett Lake is open.
Cool.
But that was the last project. Barrett Lake is open. All the blood, sweat, and tears that went into opening Barrett Lake this year. There was 68 trees that had to get cut out of the trail 2 weeks before this party, this work party that John Allen did a lot of cutting with. And then this work party, there was at least 4 or 5 sunglasses that got destroyed because of the concrete, in the mixer. As you're mixing the concrete in the mixer, it splashes out at you.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody that we took turns dumping the concrete and mixing concrete in the mixer, and everybody's clothes got destroyed. There was just a lot of effort of people busting ass this weekend.
Right. Sounds like it.
To come home and then see a press release from the Sierra Sheriff.
Okay.
Sierra County Sheriffs about an individual that is a regional manager for 4-Wheel Parts dumping the black water from his trailer into a creek.
Yep. You heard that right.
Yeah.
He is dumping his black water into a creek.
Yeah. And so
on the side of Highway 49.
Highway 49, dumping his black water technically on the pullout, in the pullout, but like it's right next to a creek. And the pullout, there was an off-duty sheriff that watched him do this whole thing. And the sheriff went over and took pictures of all the black water spill, and that it was draining down the pullout. It went down over 90 feet down the road and drained and ran off into a creek.
Yep.
So Four Wheel Parts, that's your regional manager here in NorCal. His name is Pete Kate. P-E-T-E space C-A-T-E. Pete Kate. I did learn there is a rumor. I don't know if it's a rumor. Supposedly, purportedly, Pete was having issues with his black water tank. He hit something and his black water tank was broken. Something was broken on it and he was trying to fix it. And in order to fix it, he had to dump it there. And his trailer is now currently at a place getting repaired. But the Alameda County Sheriff went and interviewed Pete at his house before they issued the arrest warrant on him.
Okay.
So apparently whatever Pete said to them was not enough of a quote-unquote accident for them to buy it and give him a fine. Because if it was just an accident and he didn't bother to try and scoop up any of the dirt and throw it in his truck or clean up any of it, then he should have just gotten a fine. Like if it wasn't intentional and it was truly an accident. Mm-hmm. But supposedly the sheriffs interviewed him and relayed the info back to Sierra County, and Sierra County still issued an arrest warrant for him, and they're slapping him with a felony and a misdemeanor and a big fine.
Wow.
For putting human feces runoff into a water stream. So he purportedly may have had some issues with his trailer. However, after law enforcement talked with him, they decided that he's supposedly probably full of shit, literally and figuratively, that they're issuing out arrest warrants and booked him.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think that the truth of what really happened is somewhere in between just intentional fuck you negligence, and he had an issue that he was trying to fix and was really trying to do his best to do it, even though he made no attempt to clean any of it up. But yeah, either way, if you just seeing all the effort that went into this weekend and then see that as the first thing I saw when I got on social media getting back home, it really just kind of struck a nerve with me.
Yeah, that's a slap in the face. Like, you're out there, you're busting your balls, you're trying to make the trails better, mm-hmm. and make them sustainable so mm-hmm. that everybody continue to use them. Mm-hmm. And then you come back to reality and you find out that, you know, here's this guy dumping his sewage down a creek.
It's not just that here's this guy. Here's this guy whose paycheck I paid. Anybody who has bought anything from Four Wheel Parts in Northern California, you have paid this guy's paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have bought anything, if you bought tires from them, if you've bought leaf springs from Four Wheel Parts, if you've bought anything from Four Wheel Parts, Smitty built stuff,
yeah,
you have paid this guy's paycheck. And he's dumping black water here in our off-roading areas, in our areas up here in the mountains in Northern California.
Yeah.
So that's really what struck the nerve with me, is that my paycheck or the items I have purchased from Four Wheel Parts, which I don't try and support Four Wheel Parts anyways, because I'm not a fan of their customer service. But I have bought stuff there because they run great prices on stuff.
Right. And they're kind of one of the only people in the market,
mm-hmm.
you know, that like we can walk into a store and get something,
yeah,
or order it.
Yep. And so that is what really just kind of pissed me off. If it was just another camper, like a quote unquote, a city that was coming up and camping for the weekend and
yeah.
just didn't know any better, And you can claim ignorance kind of thing. Oh, I didn't know that this is actually bad for the environment. Maybe, but Pete knows.
Sure.
He's in the off-roading community. Right. He's a big OHV user. And for him to do something like this is despicable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then it just makes you wonder what he was thinking or what was going on.
And that's, you know, yeah, I can't think of any scenario at all that would give him a pass on this.
Yeah. You would think that there would be some, like if he did have a problem with his Blackwater tank and it was leaking or draining while he was driving down the road, you know, it's almost better to have it drain down the road.
on the road, into the road drain off, not in a pull off right next to a creek.
Right.
Or make, you know, some attempt
and
to
you'll
clean it up.
Spread it out more. Yeah. And it doesn't all, like, you know, if you're dumping the water continuously in one spot, it's going to drain farther down. Where if you're driving 40, 55, 65 miles, well, he's trailer, 55 miles down the, you know, miles an hour down the road, it's just going to splash up into other people's windows.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, I don't know. As dirty as that sounds, it's almost a better scenario than having it dump into on the side of the road.
Yes. And
the fact that it went down into a creek, it's just the icing on the cake.
And that that sucks. I could understand if it was a mistake and it went down there, but the fact that he made zero attempt to clean it up tells me that I don't completely buy his story that it was a complete accident. He feels bad or remorseful about it at all.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or even try to block it from going down into the creek.
Something. Try and contain it somehow.
Yeah.
He made zero attempt to contain any of it.
Right.
So I don't know. Yeah. I'm not a big fan.
If it was me and my tank was leaking and there's no way to turn it off and I pull off to the side of the road and I'm dumping it onto the ground, I would pay attention to where that shit is running.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know? And I would either have to reposition because I don't want it going somewhere or block it and contain it one way or another. But yeah, maybe he was too concerned. You know, I don't know. I'm just trying to give this dude a benefit of the doubt. But, you know, everything that we talk about just seems like he just didn't care.
That's kind of, I agree. I always try and give people the benefit of the doubt. You never know both sides of the story. You never know the whole truth. But I can't, nothing is aligning that shows that he was mindful or caring of his actions and his decisions. Yeah.
I would like to know, and I don't know if anybody knows unless Pete calls us or whatever, but at what is catastrophically wrong that you have to drain your black tank?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it erupting on the inside of your camper?
Uh-huh.
Because
well,
it's overflowed.
Contain it there,
right?
I'd rather have it be in my camper than out, you know, running down the side of a pullout into a water drainage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I could see that. But on the flip side, people will probably think, well, if it's not in the camper, it needs to be out of the. If it's coming into the camper, it needs to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ruin the inside of my camper.
Yeah.
You know, so drain it so it's not coming in, you know, but I mean, here we are speculating. We don't we don't know what was, what
we
happened.
Don't know what happened. Yeah.
But we do know what ended up. Well, we know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what the cause was.
Yes.
Or why it happened.
Yes.
We don't know why that this happened. Guy drained his black water tank on the side of Highway 49 and it went down into a watershed and water or creek and went down into our creeks, you know, but why did this happen? No idea, but
no idea.
You think that this guy would have been smarter about the whole situation being in the off-road community, but you know what? He's probably never listened to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast.
I don't think he has.
No.
Yeah.
No. So all you that are listening are the much the wiser.
Yeah.
Because now you guys know what you should do.
Yeah.
And maybe one of you guys can pass this on to Pete.
Yeah. Right.
Don't, cause he'll come after us.
Yeah. We'll see. One or the other. But anyway, so it was a really hard weekend. I'm still feeling the effects. My back is not happy. My legs are not happy. I'm still dehydrated. But you know, it's all worth it because we get to keep trails open.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, an opportunity may have just opened for Snail Trail to adopt something.
Yeah, this is fun news. It's, it might be perfect for what we were looking for.
Yep. So do we want to talk about it now or do
let's save it until we know more.
Okay.
And or know for sure.
Yeah. Cool. So, shout out to Clint. I ran into Clint out on the trail.
Oh, cool.
So stopped and talked with him. He's the guy that, coordinates the backdoor recoveries at King of the Hammers each year.
Oh,
so, him, Chris, Paul, and that whole crew there.
To what group runs that? Is he a part of a group?
Don't know.
It's not like Winch Mob.
No, it's not the Winch Mob. I don't know if they have a name or if it's just kind of a group of buddies that have done it each year and they kind of get people together to run the recoveries at backdoor.
For any specific race?
King of the Hammers.
Well, for the 4,400
for
day?
All of them.
Oh, all of them.
Do all of them.
Oh, damn.
Yep. And so, yeah, I got to run into Clint out on the trail again. I ran into him a few times and this time we got to kind of stop and chat for like 20 minutes.
What's he drive?
He drives a really nice, I believe it's a CJ7. I think I could be wrong there, but it's a really nicely well done rig.
Okay.
So he's got a really cool Jeep there. Gorgeous. He was actually taking another podcast down the trail.
What?
And they're from the Pacific Northwest. And I was like, Clint, you podcast slut. You
cheater.
No.
When are you going to take me down the Rubicon? dirty, dirty boy.
I know, right? So he's a really fun guy. He's cool.
What podcast?
I figured which one it is now. They're up in the Pacific Northwest. That's all I know.
I want to listen to their episode.
I know. I want to hear about
Clint,
their story.
Message content. Us. Tell us what podcast you took down.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Take them down.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. So I ran into them. Ran into the guys that did the tree clearing with us on the snow run that one time. Cool. Ran into them out on the trail. They grabbed a koozie off the back of Kermit.
Sweet.
And then Dylan was the owner of the Jeep we got out. And then on my way back home or down Wrights Lake Road Sunday evening, there was a Dodge Ram pick 'em up truck on the side of the road with its emergency flashes on, a bunch of people standing around it, like six people. So I pulled over and I was like, hey, you guys all good? Do you need anything? And they're like, yeah, we could use some help. And the one guy, they're trying to replace a tire, it looks like. And there's a guy going like this, like waving a fist around in a circle. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. And I was like, what do you need? What do you need? I was like, hold on. And so I backed up and parked and I came, I was like, what do you guys need? I don't have all the tools, but I have enough tools to get a lot of work done. And I was looking, they go, we just need a jack, something to lift the vehicle up. And I'm like, because the tire is off and they're trying to get the spare on. When they pulled the tire off, the A-arm dropped.
Oh.
And they couldn't lift up the A-arm to get the new tire on.
That's funny.
Or the spare tire on. I was like, oh, okay, I got a jack, no problem here. I'll go back. And so I got one of those double Ram bottle jacks.
Oh, cool.
And so I pulled that out and it was the first time getting to use it and shoved it under the A-arm and pushed the A-arm up and got the tire on and then called it good. So I got to fix a Jeep and a Dodge.
Wow.
It was fun.
Look at you.
Look at me go.
Putting your big boy pants on. That's proud me. Of you.
Uh-huh. Helping out all those job and deep owners.
We've been talking a lot today.
We have been talking a lot today. It's time to go home, man.
I think let's wrap this puppy up.
Sorry,
I didn't mean that. I'm glad to hear the puppy lived.
I know. It was a very hard weekend, but a very rewarding weekend at the same time.
Yeah.
And I hope Pete gets everything coming to him. So.
There you go. And if you want to get a hold of us and tell us how correct we are with everything we said today, you can
very correct.
Call us at 916-300.
No, no.
345-7474. No, shit. I can get this.
916-345-4744. There you go.
My Lixdexio is coming through. You can email us, Jimmy or Tyler, at snailtrail4x4.com. If you think we were talking out of our ass, you can call us at
408-800-5169. Good job, Jimmy.
What was that one again?
408-800-5169.
5169. Yep. That's what it was. Let us know
anything that we messed up on there. That's 408-800-5169. For any corrections, negative feedback, anything like that we messed up on, let us know. And if you have any good feedback, we have our good hotline. That's 916-345-4744. We do have a couple of voicemails. We'll save them for another day. And I would like to say that I have left Wheeling Wine and Whiskey a few voicemails that they have not played in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So you guys need to put pressure on them to play those voicemails, okay?
That's funny. And if you enjoy hanging out with us and listening to us chat, you can always support us by joining our Patreon or going and grabbing some merch off of the Snail Trail 4x4 website.
Mm-hmm. Or leave us a review.
Yeah.
Or tell your friends, have them leave reviews. Really just spreading the word about the podcast goes a really long way. If you enjoy what you're listening to, share it with your buddies.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Cool. With that, Jimmy, do you have any final words for everybody?
I think this episode was clutch.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
What did Mars ask Saturn?
Have you seen my anus? Or I can see your anus.
No.
No. Oh.
Can I get some ring time?
No. Okay. I like mine better.
Yeah, sure.
I can see your anus.